Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
I'm hoping you can explain the hit on metals of mining.
Quick question on ticker symbol AG, First Majestic.
My wife has a rollover 401k from a previous employer. I was curious if this is eligible to be used to do a backdoor Roth.
And provides unbiased answers.
Well, that's pretty easy. Open up a Roth account, start moving the assets over there. Just know that every asset that you move over to the Roth is added to your income.
Invest Talk, across America and around the world. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Tuesday, November 30th, 2021. And of course, we're moving quickly to the end of the year. December is coming up. How's December going to be for the market? That's going to be an interesting thing. I got some comments on that later on in the show. So you still have to do certain things for the end of the year. If you're in taxable accounts, you have to take a look at them to try to mitigate any realized gains by realizing losses that you may have that you haven't realized yet. So you need to do certain things in your portfolio. And maybe you need to make a contribution or max out your contributions to your 401k, IRA, or something else. And all that is tax advantage to you. So you guys do something. At least pay attention to what is there. Okay? And you still got to build your portfolio. Still got to protect it. You still have to maintain it. And that's, of course, what this show is all about. Of course, if you want answers specifically directed to your personal situation or a particular stock or whatever, anything financial, that's, you can call me. You know, we can call me right now. 888-99-CHART is our number. Our mission statement I mention every day, independent thinking and shared success. And that tells you that we are going to provide you with information that as accurate as we can get it. Okay, so all the market reporting, all the explanations on what's going on. You know, so of course, a lot of it is our own interpretation. Justin and I talk about this stuff every day. And, you know, we decide what we think is going to happen. And we present it to you. Okay, now, of course, there are certain things we don't because we reserve those for our clients. But any questions, we answer them fully and completely. We don't hold back on any of that. So I am Steve Peasley, and of course, I encourage you to contact me. Any financial questions, anything financial, we'll talk about. And if you call me right now, you can be live on the program. We're live streaming and at 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. So you can call me now at the same number. It never changes, 888-99-CHART. And if you can't get a hold of me live and you have a question, please call that number and ask the question. We'll play it on the next show. We will. We'll play it on the very next program or within a very day or two of the question you ask. So let's get right to our first listener line question. Here it is.
Hey, this is James from Georgia. I'm calling about ticker symbol ET, Energy Transfer. I've had it for a while. It's not doing anything. It's just going sideways. And I heard you advise another guy the other day. He had something in the same sector, and you said probably sell it and get into something else. Could you please look at the financials on this? If you could please advise me. We love the show. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Engaged in natural gas midstream liquid transportation and storage businesses in the United States. I like the natural gas part. I think that's going to get more and more necessary as an energy source as time goes by. They're going to make $1.93 this year, after losing 24 cents a share last year, $1.93 this year, and then $1.30 next year. So it's a very inexpensive stock, $8.42, but these stocks generally are very inexpensive. The range is $3, and it has been as high as $33 in 2015 when they made $1.11. Here it is, $8, and they're going to make $1.30. We can make $1.93 this year, $1.30 next year. So it seems awful low price. And they pay a pretty high dividend. They have a lot of debt. That might be an issue that I would worry about. I don't know. I like the natural gas part of this. I think I'd hold on to it. There's certain of these midstream transportation and storage facility stocks that I don't like, but I kind of like this one. I think I'd keep it. ET is a symbol. My focus point today, based on the story behind the question, where are home prices headed in 2022? Do you think they're going to finally collapse? I don't think so. Real estate market has been pretty hot. We know that. In 2021, it was really hot. And, you know, maybe that rush to buy real estate, the prices skyrocketing, I think that part is done. That doesn't mean it's going to collapse. I don't see it. And we'll talk about that in more detail. I just don't see it. J.P. Morgan says oil may well get to $150 a barrel. $150 a barrel. Whenever I see something like that, I go, why do they think that? That seems odd, and it probably is not going to happen. But I want to talk about it. Jeremy Siegel, who's Wharton School of Business, has written several books and is a pretty smart guy. He talks about a drop in the market. We'll discuss that. And chip shortages continue and may get worse next year. Why? I think we should explore that too. They get worse? I don't know about that, but it's very easily explainable why we're going to have it. So those things I'm going to talk about, but of course you come first. You want to ask questions, you'll come first. The market was down pretty significantly today, down 652 points for the Dow, down 245 points for the NASDAQ, and down 88 points for the S&P 500. And you had that big down day on Friday, that shortened holiday between Thanksgiving and Saturday. That Friday, the market was down big. Yesterday, it had a little bit of bounce, and now it returned to falling. Question is this a new correction we're dealing with? Is that what we're seeing? What do you think? I think it's a very interesting and valid question to ask. Remember, we're in December. December doesn't usually have these kinds of corrections, but it can. Just because it hasn't had very many times, it certainly can. Or maybe the market's taking a breather after coming out of that low it made at the beginning of October. You know, it came out of that low, ran up through November. Now it's not. So we'll talk about that. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem talking about it. But the chart still is in a bullish move. If you look at charts of the indexes, they still are bullish despite this weakness. I know. Remember, a 10% correction would be health restoring, not necessarily a market bear market coming. It's hard for me to see a bear market coming when you have all that money being spending coming out of Washington. You still have very low interest rates. The Fed has not really made much change in their easy money. Yes, they have started the tightening process by just cutting down their bond buying by a little bit. And that's not much. They could stop that too. Anyways. My trivia question today centers on cryptocurrency. That is coming up at the halfway point of the program. So we'll talk about that. We are moving into a break, and I'm here now taking your questions, your calls. I wish you would give me a call. This is the way it goes because your interaction drives the show. Make it some more interesting. So call now. This is InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
No two investors have an identical portfolio, so each investor will have different questions.
I guess I'm wondering how I should kind of diversify.
If the questions specific to your portfolio aren't being asked, your situation is not addressed.
And I wanted your thoughts on the cannabis market.
Steve Peasley and Justin Klein take InvestTalk listener questions each weekday. during the program live stream in the 4 to 5 p.m. hour Pacific time. The InvestTalk Voice Bank never closes, so your questions are always welcome.
As a newer investor, my question concerns positions.
You have the right to remain silent, but why would you, when anything you ask will be used to help you create your financial freedom?
I think it'll probably go higher.
And so I would keep a tight stop on it.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Investors, the goal of achieving financial freedom requires unbiased information, strategic planning, and determination. Congratulations! You found the podcast that is dedicated to helping you succeed. InvestTalk. Steve and Justin welcome your questions anytime on the InvestTalk listener line. 888-99-CHART.
Hello, InvestTalk. My name's Enrique from San Diego. My question is, if I give my 2 weeks notice at my job and I have a Roth 401k at my current job right now, but it should take me about 2 to 3 months, possibly max 6 months, to find another job similar to the one I currently have, should I roll over my 401k to my Roth IRA or just leave it hanging there till I find a new job and roll it over to that 401k there? I look forward to your answer on the podcast. Thank you very much.
I would, if I was given those two choices, I'd roll it over into my Roth IRA. I wouldn't roll it into the new Roth 401k. First of all, you don't know if your new employer will offer a Roth 401k or even a 401k. You're not sure. You don't know. They don't have to, you know. That's not a must. It's a benefit that they can offer. But I'd rather see you have the money in your Roth IRA, roll it into that, because you have a lot more freedom to do what you want with the money. You can invest it any way you want. You know, you can hire someone like me or not, and you can buy anything. You're not stuck with many times those 401ks are limit you to your choices. Some of them don't, because some of them you can open up a managed account inside the 401k. Depends on how the employer sets up these things. It's not too common, but I do it for my employees. So that's what I would do. I'd roll it into the Roth IRA, and then you could pick whatever you want. You don't have to worry about whether they're going to offer one at your new job or how long it takes to get the new job. Appreciate the call. Good question. My focus point today is based on the story behind the question, where are home prices headed in 2022? Now, I have told you before, I think the homes have peaked, and they peaked in the summer. Prices, I think they have. Now, I'm not alone in that, but also there are people thinking prices will still creep up. But now most experts that think that the houses are going to go up think they are just going to go up slowly. Why do they think that? Because they think mortgage rates are going to stay subdued. Okay, they think it's still going to be subdued. They also think people are going to move back into big cities. Some people are going to move back in. We've had that exodus because of all the violence and rioting. They think that might switch and move people back into those. They also, fact remains that we have not enough housing. We have a housing shortage. Okay, and therefore that would keep the prices up. Let's see. Andrew Valdez, CEO of Cornerstone Home Lending Inc., he thinks that the house prices are going to continue to appreciate. The National Association of Realtors thinks it's going to go up 2.8%. Fannie Mae predicts a 7.4% rise next year. Let's see. Existing homes are only up 2.8%, but new homes up 4.4% next year. Could that happen? Sure, it could happen. I mean, I'm not an expert. So, you know, I think we had a spike and a peak in the summer, but, you know, prices are, we already saw in the Case-Shiller report that prices seem to have leveled off or topped. But that doesn't mean that they're going to go down. In 2008, we had a bubble, and it was obvious that was a bubble afterwards. No one thought about it beforewards, but, you know, some people did. But afterwards, it was obvious that was a situation where everybody got way too excited. Prices were driven way too high. But they were loaning to people that couldn't afford the house, couldn't afford the mortgage. They didn't care. The bankers didn't care. They were selling the mortgages to Wall Street. They didn't care because they were selling to people like you and me. So that's not the issue this time. You still have to qualify for the loan this time. You still have to have a method to pay the mortgage this time. So, even though some people are stretching, I think you don't see the crazy loan antics we saw in 2008. So I think housing prices will probably flatten out, maybe 2022, but some experts are predicting an increase. There's others that say decrease, but there's more predicting an increase in the prices because they think the Fed is not going to be raising rates anytime soon. Well, I don't either. But that should keep the mortgage rates low. Listen to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. And for the investors, the need to remain vigilant never ceases, never ends, never. So you have to have questions probably about your portfolio. It's always there. There are always questions. And we're taking your calls live, 888-99-CHART.
Each day, InvestTalk listeners submit their finance and investment questions via phone or email. Would you like your question to be put near the top of the list? Just take a minute or two to leave a review and rating for InvestTalk at iTunes. And be sure to include a brief question with your iTunes review comments.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Herbert in San Antonio. Hi, Herbert.
Hi, Steve. Always good to hear from you. I have a question regarding a 401k. I have a friend that's 70 years old. He's going to withdraw $10,000 from his 401k. My question is does he have to include it on his tax return the following year? And if so, is he going to get some of that taxes back on his tax return?
Okay. So as soon as you start taking money out of your 401k, regular 401k, not a Roth, regular 401k, which is what most people have, or IRA, the year you take that money out, that amount you take, $10,000 in this case, is added to that year's taxable income. The theory is you're not working, so your tax rate would be very low. So it's going to add it to Social Security, and then that $10,000, and whatever tax rate you are in is what you're going to be taxed for that $10,000.
Will he be getting some of those taxes back when he includes it on his tax return?
Depends on his taxes. Does he have a write-off still with his mortgage, or is that paid off? Does he?
I'm not really sure, but that does help a lot. Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, thanks for the question. Yeah, so whenever you start taking money out of your IRA or your 401k or 403b or 457 in retirement, that money, the amount you take that year, the amount you take out has to be added to your income. And these days, you're required to take money out at age 72 and a half. Or is it 72? I'm not sure. The year you turn 72. Okay? But I'm not sure about that. Talk to your accountant. Okay? Okay. excuse me. JP Morgan says oil may hit $150 a barrel. They say that because they think OPEC is driving prices, which is true. Because, we used to have more control over the price of oil when we were freewheeling, drilling for new oil and, finding new sources. But the new administration is death on oil. So just because they have that attitude means that oil companies are not drilling like they usually would, finding new supplies. All that means is a constriction of supplies, the perception that supplies are going to be constricted. And OPEC, frankly, I think they're pumping out quite a bit. I don't know if they're at their maximum, but I think they're close. So asking them to pump out more makes, not a lot of sense to me. Why don't we pump out more if oil is needed to keep the prices low? Now, I don't know if I believe J.P. Morgan the oil per barrel is going to $150 a barrel. I don't believe that. But one of the arguments they have, which is very valid, is that auto executives are saying that the EV market will be 50% of the U.S. and China by 2030. Therefore, do we need more oil? You know, it's kind of interesting that oil demand is supposed to go way down, but oil prices are going way up now. Isn't that interesting? They have that kind of dichotomy going on. Doesn't seem right, but it's what's happening. Okay. 888-99-CHARD. Let's grab another voice bank question. Same number, 888-992-4278.
Hi, this is Brian from Laguna Beach, California. I was wondering if now is a good time to buy some shares into Disney. Looks like it's down because of the third quarter or fourth quarter projections or review, and I was wondering if it's a good time to buy. Thank you.
Disney's still in a downtrend. I would wait, but it certainly is becoming more and more attractive as it's going down. Earnings are going up. Last year, they earned $2.29 a share. This year, they're going to be $4.24. Next year, $5.75. It's a $144 stock. Okay, so it's fairly, based on next year's earnings, it's fairly inexpensive, but it's not cheap. It's just less expensive. Now, just to remind you, in their heyday in 2018, they made $7.08 a share. So there's still a long way from that. But I kind of like Disney. I don't necessarily want to buy it now, but I would give you a buy point. I think if it gets down to about 125 to 130, it's hard for me to say, nah, don't buy it there. I would want to be a buyer. But I want to see it flatten out. I want to see it to stop falling first. But, yeah, I think it's to be on your watch list and be ready to pull the trigger. I do. Disney, D-I-S is a symbol, everybody. And the reason why I'm not, you know, everybody knows what they are. They do movies and they have their theme parks and everything. So, you know, I don't need to tell you that. Just about everyone has heard about crypto, and lots of people have jumped into the game as we go to break. Here's my trivia question. By age group, which set of Americans have purchased more crypto than any other age range? After break, I'll supply the answer. But for now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you to ask all your investment questions. 888-99-CHART.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
I'm calling to ask your opinion on an ETF called XLI.
And the question is, during a market downturn, do dividends stay fairly steady?
And I've got a question about warrant shares. I think that's the right term.
A warrant is a right to buy shares of stocks at a certain price.
What's your question? Now is a good time to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that many of you have heard about Shopify, but you may not know exactly what it is. Let me explain. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anywhere, and it gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved exclusively for big business. Shopify can be easily customized for your needs with tools to manage your day-to-day operations and drive sales. It is user-friendly for both the business owner and the consumer. With Shopify, you can deploy a great-looking online store that brings your ideas to life. Simply put, you will love how Shopify makes it easy for you to successfully run your own business. Get this. Shopify powers over 1.7 million entrepreneurs from first sale to full scale. It opens up endless possibilities. Every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps. You can start by building and customizing your online store, and you need no coding or design experience. Plus, with 24/7 support, you're never alone. So discover inspiration. Go to shopify.com/invest, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/invest right now. Shopify.com/invest. www.xyz.com/invest.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, we had a trivia question for you. By age group, which set of Americans have purchased more crypto than any other age range? So that was a question. Okay. Crypto is a pretty happening thing. We all know that. Yet most experts will warn you not to invest in crypto before a 401k or IRA. Invest in those first, buy stock. And what, but with that said, okay, I am one of the group age groups that doesn't want to buy cryptocurrency. Only 4% of people 65 or older will buy cryptocurrency. And obviously, you can guess, it's the youngest people, 18 to 34, make up 45% of those who purchase cryptocurrencies of some kind, the greatest share. Between 35 and 44, that's the next group at 37%. When you get to 55 to 64, only 11%, then 4% 65 or over. Now, you know, I don't have a problem with some people trying to roll a dice on cryptocurrency at all. But I have a problem with them putting more than 3 to 5% of their portfolio into cryptocurrency. It's super speculative. The odds of you losing your money are very high. The chances of you making $1 billion are very low. But they're there. I'm not saying you can't. You can. But look how wild that ride would be. Is. Not will. Is. It's a wild, wild ride. So be very, very careful. Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. I lived in New Jersey for 8 or 9 years. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Steve. How's it going? How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. What part of New Jersey you live in?
I'm in the Somerset County area, right by New Brunswick.
Know it well. Good. Okay, nice area. What can I do for you, Gary?
Yeah, thank you. I'm calling for EXPI, which is a cloud-based brokerage in real estate. Looking to take on, you know, like the Keller Williams and the Coldwell Bankers of the world, the Remaxes. It looks like it's growing. I think it started out on the West Coast and starting to grow. The earnings looks like it's starting to grow a bit, and so is the revenue speeding out, you know, year over year. So wanted to see what you thought with, like, the fundamentals and maybe
you know. It has very good growth prospects. It's growing very fast in sales, growing very fast in earnings. It's EXP World Holdings, Inc. owns and operates cloud-based real estate brokerage services for residential and real estate market. Earnings are going to be 57 cents this year. It was only 21 cents last year. Before that, they were losing money for years. Next year, it's going to be 76 cents. This is earnings. Sales have slowed down. They only grew 97% in the most recent quarter. Before that was 183. Before that was 115. Before that, 122. So it has a lot of growth in sales, and earnings are starting to pick up. Return on equity is very good at 32. The management's owned 36%. Mutual funds have almost doubled their ownership in a year. Those are all fundamentals that tell me that there's a lot of support for this stock. Now, the negative, it's very expensive. You're only going to make 76 cents a share, but it's a $36 stock. So is it worth that kind of huge PE range? And I'm going to say it's worth a pretty big PE range. This is going to be a momentum type play. You're going to have, it's not a value play. It's a growth plus momentum. And the momentum has slowed down. What I would do, if you're going to buy it, I would pick a spot to get out if it falls further. Right now it's at $36. I'd probably pick about $31. If it breaks below $31, I'd be out. But, you know, it's the high is $90. That was in 2000. That was in March or so, 2021. Okay, so, and then it fell to a low of 22, then peaked at 54, then again at 55, and now it's down to 36. So, yeah, it's, I think it's consolidating, but I'm not sure if it's consolidating at this price or will it do it at a lower price. But, yeah, I think if with risky money, I would take a shot at this. But I'd probably wait. Myself, I wait for it to stop falling, see if it holds. Gary, good question. Thank you. Good start. EXPI, EXP World Holdings, Inc. Okay, when people call or when people take time to time out of their busy day and leave a InvestTalk podcast review on iTunes, we'd like to thank them with a quick courtesy answer to a question they may have. So here's a question from iTunes reviewers, Randall, 1951. I'm using the Dividend Kings as a guide to buying good dividend stocks. I don't have a lot of free time to research. Is this a good approach? Why or why not? There's nothing wrong with that. I like Dividend Achievers better than Dividend Kings. Dividend Achievers gives you a lot more information and a very easy and quick way to review. And they give you different dividend stocks over different periods of time. They give you dividend stocks that have always increased their dividends every year for the last 10, 20, 30, 50 years. Or dividend stocks that have always paid a dividend since, you know, on and on and on. And I like it because it's more in-depth and more thorough. So it's called Dividend Achievers. They come out with a book every couple of years, I think. You know, but I would suggest take a look at that. Okay. Good. Thank you for the question. Let's pivot to the InvestTalk Voice Bank again for this question that came in earlier, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Randy calling from Minnesota. And a lot of times you talk about it's at strong support or at this number it's at strong support. How do you know it's at strong support? I will hang up and listen. Great podcast. Bye for now.
Okay, that's a very good question. We look at, okay, this tall charting. We're looking at a chart. When you buy a company and you want to own a company, you look at the fundamentals, its earnings, its sales, its profit margins, its management team, its brand, you know, all those things. When you're looking at, that's called fundamental analysis. You're looking at the fundamentals. Their technical analysis is nothing more than looking at a chart to see what the actual public is doing, buying and selling that stock. Okay. So we start with a one-year daily chart. So it's a chart of daily movement of a stock over a one-year period. That's a basic chart. And, you know, stocks go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. Support is where the stock goes up, comes down to a point, then bounces up, maybe comes down to close to that point or a little below that point, bounces back up, and you're looking at this year of the activity and you're saying, hey, those two times it bounced down to that price, it bounced off of it at both times. That's support. That's where people start to come in. They think it's cheap or they think that's a good price to buy. Whatever, people come in and start to buy at that price. The more times it bounces off of that kind of number, the better, meaning it's strong support. That's what that is. Resistance. It's the same thing going up. It can't seem to get above this, so it bounces off. Can't get above that price. Done it two or three times, four times. That happens too. Now, remember, reading a chart is not science. It's an art. Don't think of it as, oh, okay, that it's always true. It's not. It's just generally true. Not always true. So every now and then, it is fun to play two in a row. So here comes another question from the 888-99 chart number.
Hello, Justin and Steve. Have a question about ticker symbol UUP. It's for the U.S. dollar. It's an ETF. Wondering if the momentum of the past 8 days could be sustained. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
Probably not. Probably not. The dollar, the UUP is Invesco's dollar bullish, bearish. It's just tracking the U.S. dollar against other currency. ETF seeking performance corresponding to the Invesco dollar U.S. index bullish Fund Index. Okay, and the dollar has actually done quite well in the last, even from beginning of the year. Last year it went down. Because it went down, gold did well. This year it's gone up, and gold has struggled for most of this year, if you've noticed. But it hasn't gone down much, but it's struggled. Now, the dollar in recent weeks have shot up. Today was a down day, but I think we're seeing a big push up on the dollar, and I think we might be finished for the time being. So I think that that top we made 3 or 4 days ago is a pivot point, and meaning that it's going to pivot back down and find support again. And probably, I won't tell you numbers because, that won't make sense to you. But I think they'll come down. I think we've seen the big move up in the short term. Long term is still bullish. It's a bullish pattern for a year. So you can't say, and of course it's had ups and downs for that year. But if you'll look at a chart, you'll find of UUP, you'll find that the strong support at $25 and right around $25, it seems to bounce off of that. Okay? Let's go to Bill in San Rafael. How you doing, Bill?
Hi, Steve. Doing well. How's your day going?
Pretty good. Can't complain. Oh, I could, but, I don't have kids to complain to. And my wife will not listen to me, so there you go. You want to talk about AT&T?
AT&T, yeah. I have a small position just in a balanced portfolio for the dividend, and I've been recently watching the share price slip, and I'm not sure if I understand the situation. They've been talking about a dividend cut because they spun Time Warner off. Yeah. Just wanted to see what your take is on this at this time.
Yeah, it's a tough call because they spun Time Warner off, and that helped contribute to the dividend. So the dividend is going to be cut. I mean, the dividend right now, based on the price now, is 9.1%. That's not going to be the case going forward. It's going to be like 4%, 4.5% going forward. Okay? That's still a very good dividend, but the price has got crushed today, down, 5, 6% today? $22.84. And there's not a lot of support, where this seems we're dealing with kind of unknown territories. Now, they're going to make $3.16 next year. It's a $22 stock. That tells you, man, that's a good deep value price, right? That's what that tells you. So at some point, you got to be a buyer of AT&T. It's not a growth stock, and you really buy it for the dividend, but it probably will bounce at some point. And I just don't know where that point is yet. I mean, we own this in some of our managed accounts, and we're debating whether we want to wait for the bounce and how far down does it go and that kind of thing. So we're also struggling with that thought. But if I was to – I tend to want to be a buyer of AT&T, okay? But I would wait till it stops going down. I need to see some support first. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That's AT&T, everybody. T is the symbol. Okay, let's see what we got. So as we get closer to the end of the year, I think it's worth a minute or two to talk about our company. Justin Klein and I are owners of KPP Financial. So what makes us a little bit different? We're in Orange County, California, between L.A. and San Diego. What makes us a little bit different than everybody else is that we actually talk to our clients. We will talk to them. We also practice what we preach. We put our money where our mouth is. We call it parallel investing. We buy the same positions or sell the same positions, same time, same percentages as our clients. Not too many people do that out there. There are some, but not too many. But we've been doing it for years and years and years. Okay? We have different strategies for how much risk you want to take. We treat everybody equally as far as, the strategies. Doesn't matter how much money you have. As long as you have the minimums to get in, you can have $1 million, $200,000, $10 million, doesn't matter. We're going to treat you all exactly the same. And, we would be happy to take a look at your portfolio at no cost. I looked at a couple today. At no cost, no obligation. If you want to take a look at it, we'll be happy to do it. Give you some help, some guidance. Of course, we can't manage your portfolio. And some people think, that's what that means when I say that. No, we can look at your portfolio and talk to you, try to find out whether, you're properly, you're taking the proper risk that you should be taking or that you want to take, and that your portfolio matches that. And that we'll talk to you about your portfolio. We just won't manage it for you unless you want to hire us. So don't mistake me. We will help you and give you some advice. And I don't have a problem with that. But some people kind of abuse that free offer. They want us to buy and sell their stocks for them or tell them what to buy and sell. Don't do that. Let's go to Robert in Millbrae. Hi, Robert.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I was curious about this company called ASX. It's Life 360. They recently did an acquisition with, they acquired a tile company, and they do the smart devices to find stuff. Just kind of curious if you believe this market might be good and if this is a good acquisition.
Okay, you have the symbol A is in Apple, S is in Sam, X is in X-ray?
Yes, I believe it's in the Australian market. I don't know if you have the data for that, unfortunately.
Now, ASX is ASE Technology, and that's a Taiwanese producer of advanced. It helps build computers, computer packaging, so it's not the same company. So that company you are suggesting is not traded on our exchanges, or also would have a different symbol. Sorry, couldn't help you with that, Robert. We can finish this answer. Well, no, we can't. Actually, that's pretty much it. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here: to help you achieve your financial freedom. Everybody wants it. I want it. Everybody wants that. And our work will continue after this break, so get your questions in, 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced, or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz. The InvestTalk phone lines are open and waiting for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Steve, this is James from Georgia. Got a question about ticker symbol FCX. That's Freeport McMoRan. I'm holding it, and I think BHP is performing better. Do you think it'd be a good idea to sell this and then just put that money with BHP? I'll listen for your advice. Appreciate the show. Have a great day.
I probably don't. I like FCX better. Why? BHP is a Australian company engaged in mining and metal mining and energy. But there's one thing they do that I don't like. They also mine for coal. Now, China needs a lot of coal, but they also mine for oil and gas. But FCX doesn't mine for that coal. You know, and coal, see, it's dirty, right? Everybody hates it because it's dirty. Worldwide campaign to get rid of coal out of energy production and not mine it and quit polluting the world, right? That's what I don't like about that concept. Freeport McMoRan engaged in exploration and development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia. I like that area better. I also like that they're growing BHP. Let me go back. Yeah, it looks like FCX is growing growing its sales faster, but FCX is also a little more expensive. Well, yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one, but I would pick Freeport McMoRan, Inc. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, Jeremy Siegel, the Wharton School of Business, warns of a 10% drop in December. You're specific about what month? December. That's not very far away. Couple of days. However, there is a however. He really covers his bases by saying, if the Fed seeks cracking down on inflation, well, they're not going to do that in December. I guarantee you they're not going to do that. So, so is his 10% call any good at all? Not really. I mean, see, anybody can say anything. They can predict, and they can be an expert at it. I've noticed experts are often wrong, but they can be an expert at it. But then if they put qualifiers on it like this – Well, that's not very helpful, is it? No. Now, chip shortages, you know, computer chips. Shortages is likely to continue into the next year, and it may get worse. One of the reasons is two very large chip makers, Chinese chip makers, Semiconductor Manufacturing International, or SIMC, CIMIC, and Huawei are Chinese companies that are both banned or restricted for selling chips in the U.S. And they're major. CIMIC produces 5% of global chips out there. Global, worldwide global amount of chips produced out of this one company, 5%. And we know why they are banned from selling chips here, because of the Chinese military controls those companies. And, you know, they can spy on us by using their chips. So they're banned. And I will say President Biden recently eased the restrictions a little bit, but the ban's still in place. So somehow we got to replace that shortage, and it takes time to do that. I mean, you're going to build a new factory? Some other company's got to pick up the slack. Maybe they don't want to build a new factory. Maybe they think that the U.S. government will back off of these two companies and let them sell to U.S. companies. Again, here they are building a new factory. You got to give that consideration. You can't just do it. You know, as a CEO of a company, you got to be very deliberate about making those kind of huge money decisions, building a new factory. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin and Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about the free podcast downloads. You can get yours anytime at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and please be sure to review us or rate us on iTunes. I appreciate that. You can leave a brief question while you're doing it. We'll answer it right away, we promise. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.